1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. We only give the phone number out occasionally in case we get any interesting calls. But a lot of times I just talk, and, you know, I like that. I like hearing the sound. I do like hearing the sound of my own voice. And I like just rapping to myself and telling stories. And, you know, we don't take phone calls on this show too often. So what do you want from me? You going to sue me? Why don't you sue me? By the way, I got the particulars on the end of that lawsuit, but actually I didn't. I got a call from Norm. I got to call him back, I guess. I got your message, Norm, but I didn't have time to call you, man. Robert Downey Jr. spent Thanksgiving alone, having finished working on his 8th episode of Ally McBeal. He drove 2 hours east of Los Angeles to Palm Springs and checked into a $600-a-night luxury villa with a view of Mount San Jacinto. By Saturday, he was completely wasted. That's exactly how the Washington Post reports on poor Robert Downey Jr. I say poor Robert Downey Jr. Nobody wants to give this guy any sympathy. He's a tortured alcoholic, drug addict. I can't even make that comment. I might get sued. But something's wrong with the guy. One thing I need to let you know, though, Robert, if I may. Yeah, he had a view of a mountain of cocaine is what he had a view of. What do you mean the Mount San Jacinto? He had a view of a freaking mountain of the size of Kilimanjaro. He was looking at Mount San Jacinto of coke. I got to tell you something. The guy in his life has, for instance, in 1997, skipped a mandatory drug test, was ordered to a Los Angeles County jail for 113 days, was furloughed to work on the film U.S. Marshals, and then again to do post-production work on In Dreams. Neither one of those films anybody saw. In June of 1999, Downey admitted in court he had misled a scheduled drug missed a scheduled drug test, a probation violation. Based on the 96 guilty plea, the judge... And by the way, lest anybody say, well, what do you know about it, Hendry? And isn't it easy for you to sit there and comment on the travails of another human being, even though he is a very popular human being, a public personality, a celebrity? How could you be so smug? Well, you know what? Maybe I've come down a couple of roads that I won't comment on. Huh? Ah, think I'm a drug addict, do you? Well, maybe I'm not. Maybe I just knew some people who were. I know a guy who killed himself. I had a friend who, they couldn't wake him up. He went into jail for a DUI, and that was it, man. He fell asleep one night, and they couldn't wake him up the next day. Guy died from an alcoholic coma. He was in an alcoholic coma, and that was it. I know the guy when I was in high school. I mean, you could see people, especially in this business. In radio? You got to be kidding me. I mean, I've been in this business 27 years. You want to know the bodies that I've seen dropping left and right from dope, from booze, from smack, you name it. I saw a guy completely come unglued one day, swinging from a freaking chandelier like Tarzan on acid. My program director, one of the most brilliant men I've ever worked for. And why hasn't David called, by the way? But anyway, I'm kidding, David. Just joking. I knew a guy who was a sex addict. By the way, why hasn't David called? Joking. So anyway, Downey admitted in court that he'd missed a scheduled drug test, a probation violation. After filing an appeal, his lawyer succeeded in securing his release on August 2nd of this year. There was another incident while awaiting a trial. He wandered into a neighbor's Malibu house the next month, passed out in the empty bed of the family's 11-year-old son. A judge ordered Downey into a live-in rehabilitation program. A lot of these things, and Mike just gave me Robert Downey Jr.'s, you know, his filmography. Look, I'm a film fan, and I think I know what a good movie is. I may not have seen all the good movies that there are to see, but in this article, they say that he's one of the most brilliant actors of his generation. And, of course, I mistakenly brought up the name Nicolas Cage to my young friends, and they all went, "What? He's not as good as Robert Downey Jr." Well, hey, guy's got an Academy Award. Sorry to have to report. Nicolas Cage, in my opinion, is a better actor than Robert Downey Jr., lest anybody confuse him with his sober father. But I will tell you this, I like some of the stuff the guy's been in. The problem is I ain't seen much of what he's been in. I saw Less Than Zero, I saw The Other Thing, and I saw that other thing. Who? Chaplin. Chaplin's the movie to see. It's the one Shortcuts, Natural Born Killers, which was not as horrible a movie as everybody tells you it is. It's got some amusing moments. It's got some, you know, some things going on there that are kind of interesting. What do you mean apples and oranges, Nicolas Cage and Robert Downey Jr.? What are you talking about, apples and oranges? They're two actors from the same generation. They both go after the similar parts. They could have played either. Name any part that Nicolas Cage has gotten, Robert Downey Jr. could have played it. Look, I don't want to argue it. All I'm saying is that I think that there's other guys that, you know, the guy ain't that good, but he ain't that bad. He's in jail right now. I got this stinking hunch. I could be wrong. There's some people think they're going to go down in history like Jim Morrison. I just have this sense that drug abuse among celebrities has gotten to a point where now they think, well, maybe I can actually make a splash like Jimi Hendrix, and I don't have to kill myself doing it, sort of. I don't know, you know, falling asleep in a neighbor's bed. In other words, pardon my language, but generally acting like an asshole, which, of course, we can all, you know, we see that every day of our lives. But I just got to tell the guy, nobody's going to mistake you for Jim Morrison, okay? Nobody's going to, you know, because this is all stuff that Morrison already did. He already fell asleep in a neighbor's bed, and he's been popped for the drugs, and he did all of that stuff. So I don't know what else there is for this guy to do. And by the way, you're making some good friends there, Robert, if I may call you Robert. Oh, you call you Bob? Okay. Apparently, as soon as you got into that hotel room, they got a 911 call from somebody who said, and I'm going to quote the 911 call directly. This is the 911 call that went into the police. I'd just like to let you know that in room 311 of the Merv Griffin Resort, there is a man that is doing an ounce of cocaine and a couple of guns and is pretty unsafe. Thank you. And he hung the phone up, and police later identified him as Nicolas Cage. And they said, I'm joking. Later identified, Jesus, you got to learn how to type. You know, I can't sit here and wait for your crap. Doug Danger, thank you. So he goes into this, he scores from somebody, he goes to the hotel, which, by the way, it's the Merv Griffin Gavinci Spa, I think is what it's called. The Merv Griffin Resort Hotel and Gavinci Spa in Palm Springs. I'm not familiar with that. What is that, a Gavinci? Melissa was holding one finger over a nostril. Is that what that means? Okay. Is it a type of cooking, maybe, or something they do to you once you get into the hot tub? Do they stew you there? Instead of, you don't just get into a spa, you're stewed. The guy was turned in by whoever it was that he bought the stuff from. I'd like to know who it is you buy from when you're a Robert Downey Jr. Who do you buy drugs from, and I can be relatively assured of, you know, some anonymity? Maybe he should have called Charlie Sheen, but... I don't know, who do you buy? What life do you have when you're as popular as this guy? And as stupid, apparently, as this guy. He must have pissed somebody off, too. Maybe the guy was black. Yeah, right, man. Yeah, you are. You're all right, brother. Yeah, sure, that brother thing. Yeah, I'll play that, man. That's right. Well, that's great. 8-ball? Sure, yeah, whatever you want, man. You Robert Downey Jr., you do anything you want, man. Hello, is this the police? Yeah, Robert Downey Jr.'s in a hotel room with coke.
Damn white man. You want to play me, man? I'll play you. I don't give a damn, man. I ain't never seen one of your damn movies. That Lesson Zero and all that. I did like Mr. Willoughby's Christmas Tree, though. That was pretty good. I'll show you, brother.
So he's flushed his life down the toilet. I'll bet you I know what happened. He wrote a check for the coke and it bounced.
Hello, is this the police? Yeah, I don't want to say anything, but a guy wrote me a check for some cocaine and it bounced. Who do I call?
Gave his credit card number and it was, you know, overdrawn. So what are you going to do? Anyway, that's the those are the travails of this guy who right now is cool on his heels in jail. And the Ally McBeal people are all being quoted as saying, well, that's tough luck. And most people, basically most of the people that stuck up for him were saying, well, what are you going to do? The cat is back on it. On Thanksgiving evening, Downey ate in his room. Perhaps the seductive power of drugs was irresistible, according to the Washington Post. The resort manager said that Downey was not making any disturbance when police knocked on his door at 9 p.m. Saturday after receiving a call from an anonymous male at a nearby payphone saying that there were drugs and guns in the actor's room. He was sad he wasn't fighting or anything, says hotel manager Heidi Geyer, who came in after the police arrived. Police searched the room but didn't find a gun. Downey went to jail for several hours, then was released on a $15,000 bail to a local bondsman. And as Hollywood contemplates the ongoing saga of a homegrown tragedy, one last comment the actor made in details may come in mind, or may come to mind. Quote, the threat of poison has been eliminated from me, Downey said. I know I can do time now. I can even go out and do stuff that makes what I did before seem tame and then go handle my business wherever they would put me. Practically all the fear about that has been eliminated. So he doesn't mind going back to jail. Mike asked me, do I think he should do jail time or do I think he's sick and should get treatment? I think he's sick and I think he should be in jail. Isn't that interesting? What do you mean, do I think he should get jail time or sick? Yeah, the guy is sick, ought to get treatment, and ought to go to jail for the rest of his life. How about that? How about if he gets treatment in jail? Somewhere in a shower. I'm not personally interested in whether drug addicts ought to get treatment or not. I think that throwing a guy in jail often enough and long enough is going to change his life one way or another. He'll either die in jail, a victim of whatever happens to people in jail, or he'll die out on the street. But I think throwing him in jail is just perfectly fine with me. So, you know, what do you mean? You're going to be spending money rehabilitating a drug addict? You know, if you've ever spent any time around anybody like alcoholics who go to AA, they tell you you got to hit bottom before you can get well. So what are you going to do? You're going to intervene on behalf of the guy and try to clean him up and give him a job and be his pal? These guys need to lick the sewer is what they need to do. And besides, being in jail is good for them because you get better coke in jail. You get that one phone call and you can score really good coke. Maybe a guy in jail made the phone call. Anyways, the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. I'll tell you what you can do. I get more television companies, production companies, networks asking me what I'd like to do on television. You know, they listen to our show, and it is a fairly unique presentation. So they said, boy, we got to do something with this guy. Let's put him on TV. What do you want to do, Phil? I don't have any ideas of what I want to do on TV. But I tell you what, somebody out there might have a good idea. So anybody want to write me a TV show, give us a call here. Call us here at Premier Radio Networks. Write me a television show. I guarantee you one thing. I ain't going to be shoving it up my nose in Palm Springs. You know, I'll go to work every day. I'll come home. I'll see my wife. I'll say hi to the kids. I'll get up in the morning and I'll go back to work. And I won't spend Thanksgiving alone. I spent too many Thanksgivings alone. I spent plenty of Thanksgivings alone. I remember spending a Christmas Eve all by myself at the ABC Liquor Lounge, 49-cent drinks, 1975 in Orlando, Florida. And look at this. Craig says, 49-cent drinks, that's for me. Before I was married, I was a bum walking along the sidewalks of life. Tell you, I didn't have nothing, man. Right now, it'd be great if I had some private eye music, but I guess I don't. That's the way my production library is set up. I don't have jack. I got all this stuff sitting over here, but I have no way to access it. This whole place, I want to quit so bad I can't even see crime scene. There you go. We need to put some of the stuff either put it in the digicard, or I can't turn around and reach it, you know? Mike's looking at me with a look on his face like it's his fault. Well, it is your fault. You can't hear me, man? What? And I don't read lips. I still don't read lips. Here you go. Anyway, before I got married, I was nothing but a bum. And I spent a lot of Thanksgivings by myself. And that's just the way that my life was, okay? And they weren't in $600 a night luxury suites at the Merv Griffin Gavinci Spa. But, hey, you know what? God bless the guy. He's got that kind of coin. He can lay it out there for $6 a night, you know, living the life of luxury. That's beautiful. I got no problem with that. I'm just telling you, somebody give me a TV show, man. I ain't going to throw it out the window or jam it up my nose or anything else. I dare say the rest of you guys are fairly similar, and I understand he has problems. What do you want me to tell you? I know that life is tough. The guy's a typical junkie. First thing he said to the cops was, you've ruined my life. That's the first thing he says to the cops. I just want you to know you've ruined my career. You've ruined my life. The cops did. Not Robert Downey Jr. He didn't do anything wrong. He just took his paycheck from Ally McBeal and started parking it up his nose there on a nice, long, beautiful turkey weekend. $6 a night. What's that buy you in Palm Springs? That buys you a whole hell of a lot of hotel room. Now, it ain't the $3,200 a night that Jim Carrey spent laying it out there in Hawaii. But then we can't all be Jim Carrey. Can we? Robert Downey Jr., we got a shot. I think I can step right into those shoes, if you don't mind. Yeah, that's right, me, Phil Hendry. Sure, yeah, sure, me.
See?
Anyway. So, you know, get me a TV show and I won't park it up my nose. I will, I'll even give most of the money to, you know, well, I'll give some of the money to it. How about the Phil McBeal show? Can we just start with that concept? With a view of Mount San Jacinto. Whatever that means to 90% of the country. It's a mountain, folks. That's all it is. Obviously depressed, maybe overworked, doesn't want to be around anybody. When you're high, especially if you got, if you're packing that crap up your nose morning, noon, and night, or whatever it is you're doing, if you're drinking your lunch, you the last thing you want to be around is a chick. That's the last thing you want. I mean, really. I mean, if you're really into the, if you're really headlong, man, into a speedball of destruction, the last thing you want to be around is a woman, because you don't want to listen to her. That's for starters. And looking at her doesn't really do all that much for you anymore, because all you're doing is you're just packing methamphetamine up your freaking face until you look like something out of Auschwitz. And then just for grins, you're chasing it back with Johnny Walker Black. Was there a blonde in the room who was visiting, according to the news items? Well, guess what? I bet you that's all she was doing. You sure she wasn't wearing a nurse hat? Maybe administering something IV? I don't know. Sean Penn said that he twice failed to stage interventions to get Downey to seek help for his drug problem, and he said that, well, let me just answer your question, Mike. No, I don't think these guys should be, I do not believe that these guys should be, quote, rehabilitated. I don't know what that is. Put them in jail, let them rot. Now, does that sound like some kind of a hard-ass thing? Let me tell you something. These cats are not going to get well unless they want to, man. There's no way you're going to make a guy want to get better because you're offering them a variety of rehab clinics and marvelous places to go and sweep the floor and learn all kinds of neat things about yourself, like how to sweep out the cat box or whatever the hell it was that Elizabeth Taylor was doing at Betty Ford. What'd she learn how to do? How to clean out a cat box or something? Didn't she meet Larry Fortensky while he was scrubbing down a toilet? They had toilet detail. That's how they met. Well, that's all great. I mean, you're going to get that anywhere. I mean, what? So she's paying how much a night for that? $1,000 a night to scrub a better-looking toilet than the one that the guy's going to be in if he's in jail? She had kitchen duty. Oh, that's great. Ms. Taylor, welcome to Betty Ford. First thing we're going to have you do is go in and make pies. Okay, good job. Put him in jail. Put him in jail. Because the only thing that is going to make a junkie or anybody with a problem, any addict, the only thing that is going to turn those guys around is the prospect of death. Death. Dying. Death. Not rehab clinic number 843 and somebody patting them on the rear end and telling them that life is going to be a beautiful thing. Death is what makes a man clean up. Either that or he dies. The guys that clean up, they're smart. The guys that die, we're dumb. And that's the thing that's going to clean up Robert Downey Jr., the absolute prospect of death. And don't give me this bull crap that he got hardcore in jail, because I ain't buying that. I ain't buying that this movie actor got hardcore in the joint, because he sure as hell did not. He ain't hard. And he might have made some friends because they want to, you know, like, know Robert Downey Jr. Maybe he thinks he can place a phone call. This dude didn't get hard in jail. So maybe if he did get hard in jail, now he's a criminal. So great. Go out and live the criminal life, all right? Go listen to this kind of music. And wear a funny-looking hat. Just bug off, will you? And no more falling asleep in little kids' beds, all right? It's like, it's really good. There was one Jim Morrison. We don't need another one. Please, God, not that. 1-800-449-8686. As soon as we get an interesting phone call, we'll put it on the air. This is The Phil Hendry Show. Show 1-800-449-8686. Been a bunch of rulings in the presidential election or just different court skirmishes. There have been a couple of circuit court rulings about petitions from the Gore side, and there is a thing from the Florida State Supreme Court today that said that they will make arguments, that both sides can make arguments on the recount thing on Saturday, and there's a Atlanta Court of Appeals thing that's addressing this, and, you know, it just gets thick with court action, and it would just be great if there was just one big isn't the Supreme Court supposed to be the end of the road? There's one big judge who would just say, okay, that's it, that's all. Can we just take it to the one big judge now? Just one big thing that says, cool it. It's one judge or a group of judges. The Supreme Court seems to be a good place to go, huh? You got to peel it all away. Just get it up to the Supreme Court right now.
No, we have to go through the process.
And these Southern judges, well, hell, what's your pleasure? We can start at 9 a.m. Oh, well. Now there's an editorial in the New York Times, or was the L.A. Times, an editorial from Robert Scheer who said that Gore morally can't quit because... as former New York Governor Mario Cuomo put it, defending Gore's legal challenge, he has no right to quit. Gore is ahead in the national popular vote by more than 323,000 votes, and discounting Florida, is leading the electoral vote with 267, requiring only three more to win. He's clearly still the front runner and hardly can be described as a sore loser if he presses for a more accurate and complete count in Florida. In any case, it's even more unseemly to be the sore winners of the Bush camp, totally lacking in magnanimity to an opponent who bested them, but who may lose the top prize after all. Well, no, he didn't. He won the electoral vote. It was certified in Florida on Sunday night, as per the state Supreme Court of Florida. What did I say? New York Times? I mean LA Times. And so it was certified, and, well, there's some things that we could be questioning. Are these guys so completely stupid that they don't recognize... You saw this legal team that Bush put together. Didn't you see this today? Did you see these guys? These guys are the Prince of Freaking Darkness. You see them? Man, he had more Houston lawyers lined up, and these cats all looked loaded for bear. The Texas Princes of Darkness. And they're all, well-tailored, and they talk like this. And these guys don't drive anything smaller than the 700 series of something. I don't know what it is, but it's got armored plating, I know. And they don't drive it themselves. And you saw these guys this morning? He introduced them. He's got Foghorn Leghorn he just brought on. Now, that guy, I thought, was retired. But he's working pro bono now. Foghorn Leghorn of Leghorn, Foghorn, Hoghorn, and Foghorn. And I'd like to say
right now, y'all full of crap.
Foghorn Leghorn of Leghorn, Foghorn, and Chicken Hawk Limited. Wow. I'm telling you, these guys, you know, there's sometimes you just have to back way off. And I'm very serious in life. I don't know what it is. Maybe, you're in a bar room and somebody walks in. You know, this is one guy you don't mess with. Or it could be just in life, you know, the one football team that you see or, your opponent. I saw these guys line up this morning when Baker and Baker himself. I mean, you're ready to crap your pants looking at half of these guys. Because they're going to come in there. And guess what they're going to do? Oh, take a wild guess. Oh, what's that? Chicken Hawk is the minority partner? Thank you for that. Anyway, these guys, if the Gore legal challenges are successful in Florida, guess what they're going to do? They're going to go to Iowa. They're going to go to New Mexico. They're going to go to Illinois. They're going to go to Oregon. You don't think it's going to end here, do you, Al? Are you nuts? Gore's saying, well, if you'll just go along with this recount, we can do it in 7 days. It'll be wrapped up before the December 12th deadline, and it'll be a beautiful thing. If you guys will just go along with me on this. I don't know what's wrong with me. I guess I've been beaten into submission by a Republican family, starting with my wife, going to my mother-in-law, all the way on down the line to the kids. Even the 9-year-old, even the little girl is like, what's the matter? Gore suck. There's nobody in my house. I got no friends, so I've just been beaten into submission. And like I said, I saw those lawyers line up this morning going, God, I'd like to be one of those guys, you know? I'd like to, I had my life to live over again. I think I'd buy some really nice suits. I might have taken better care of myself in terms of my weight. I think I probably would have invested in a good hair weave. I would have gotten a nice monogrammed kerchief to come out of the top pocket of that beautiful double-breasted number. And I'd walk up and just sort of check my watch a lot and go, good afternoon. I'd even culture a little Southern accent. I can't tell you right now that, what's your pleasure? And nothing but a little bit of creek water. I don't know, maybe some bourbon with a little creek water. Don't want to rust your plumbing, though. And live the life like that. I was looking at this guy. I was going, look, God, what might have been for Phil Hendry. I'd be a good lawyer. I can talk. I can bull crap with the best of them. I could stand in front of a judge and BS him six ways to sunset. He'll be sitting there going, let me shake your hand. You're so full of crap, but I love you. Thank you, Your Honor. Or can I call you judge? I might even be a better... I ought to run for damn president. Well, it's all too late now. So I got to do what I got to do. But I look at those guys and go, Jesus, if I had one of those cats on my side, man, there's nothing I wouldn't be able to do. I'd sue. I wouldn't stop suing. I'd sue everything, everybody. If I had just enough jack to keep those guys on the meter, I'd sue everyone just to see what the hell it was I could come out with. Because these guys look heavy hitters. And like I said, you don't kid yourself, man. You think Gore is going to get his way and that's going to be the end of it? Because Bush, and if I was Bush, do the same damn thing. Oh, really? Okay, so you want to do the thing in Florida? Yeah. Well, guess what, baby? We're recounting your ass in New Mexico. How does that feel, Al? Sit on that one. Well, now, wait a second. You can't. Oh, yes, we can. We're going to do it. Sure, we can. This is the war of bullcrap like I've never seen before in my life. Each side has got a larger lump of it that they're flinging, and it's all about how much they give a hoot and a holler. As far as I'm concerned, Bush is the president of the United States. The best thing that he could have done tactically is to come out and say, okay, we won. Great. Now, Gore's got to run after him like a dog chasing a freaking milk wagon. And guess what? He's going to get caught under the wheels. How's that for some Southern bullet BS, huh? Like a dog chasing a milk wagon. You get caught under the wheels, man. You're squealing like a pig under a gate. I sound just like Dan Rather, don't I? I'll tell you what, if a frog had side pockets in Texas, man, he'd be carrying a gun. You know what, Dan? I don't know about that, but I'd love to see the headline, Frog Shoots Dan Rather. That'd be pretty sweet. I think that the Bush camp ought to have Gore put down like a rabid dog. How'd you like to see that? Frog with side pockets pulls gun, shoots Dan Rather. Oh, man. As former New Yorker, well, I mentioned that. In any case, it's even more unseemly to be the sore winners. This is the closest presidential contest in at least 124 years. Not since 1888 has the candidate who won the popular vote failed to carry the Electoral College. The legitimacy and hence stability of our political system requires that this vote be fully reviewed by the courts and amended under the direction to gain the fairest outcome. You can't. It's impossible. You have to do the whole thing over again. You have to count every single... You want to be fair? Do you really want to be fair? That's what I'm asking you. Do you really want to be fair? Because if you really want to be fair, you got to recount every freaking vote that was cast in this presidential election. Every one. You really want to be fair, or you just want to be fair where somebody bellyached, like Florida? Well, there's a guy that bellyached in Oregon. There's some people bellyaching in New Mexico. They bellyached in Iowa. They're even screaming their guts loose in Wisconsin. All of a sudden, there's all kinds of people who think, well, maybe this thing ought to be recounted after all. Or is it when you guys say that the court action ends is when it ends? You mean to tell me there's a time limit? There's some kind of limit on this process whereby you guys say that this is what's fair and here's where it ends and you can't go any further than that? Well, let's see. There's some people in Iowa that want to recount their votes. Well, now, I didn't say that they can do it ad infinitum. I said, well, yes, you did. Oh, we just say we want to have a fair count. Well, yes, we should have a fair count. Let's recount every vote because that's the only way it's going to be fair. I'm looking at Gore now, man. If that guy got to be president, I'd be scared. And I voted for him. When would it end with this cat? I'd like somebody to answer that question. I'd like somebody to tell me what's to stop these dudes on the Republican side to start filing their own lawsuits and make us count every last vote that was cast in this election. From Hawaii to the shores of Maine, this land is your land. And you can have it. Because that's what they got to do. I'd like to see it happen. And you want to see a guy crap his pants, take a look at Gore the day that comes down the pike. Okay, Al, we're recounting everything.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about every damn thing that ever got voted on, including the dog catcher, county clerk, you name it. We're going to even recount Guam, and they can't vote. Well, hell, I don't... Yeah, that's right. I didn't mean that. Well, it's going to happen. Puerto Rico, the whole bit. Foghorn, take it over.
I say, oh, well, I say that. I say...
If they assassinated Foghorn Leghorn, would it be a barbecue, or how would they do that? Okay, anyway, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. We were just talking here off the air about Bush running again in 2004. The other thing is, which guy could run in 2004 and actually get elected, actually have a shot, actually have a snowball's chance? Well, not a snowball's chance in hell. What would be a better chance for a snowball's chance in a refrigerator? I guess. To win. And that would be Bush. Bush would have the snowball's chance in a refrigerator to win. Huh? What did I don't know. He's in a freezer, yeah. Anyway, Bush would, because I really think that if Gore makes it in this election, if he, it's going to be seen as a, it's going to be seen as a, as I don't care what Gore thinks, it's going to be seen as unfair. It's going to be seen somehow that he was able to muscle this through the courts, and it was a court win. It was an award. It was a jury award. It was like just any other lawsuit. Of which, of course, we are all so deeply enamored in this country of lawsuits, big jury awards, and lawyers. And this would be a victory for lawyers perceived that way. So Gore, he wouldn't have a prayer in 2004. If he loses, he still hasn't got a prayer because he looks like a squealing pig. Just like they said in the LA Times here. It was once said of the Midwest slaughterhouses that they could make use of every part of the hog but the squeal. On Monday, Al Gore confirmed an ill-kept secret. Now he's going for the squeal. After dragging things out for 3 weeks, Gore has a new strategy, dragging it out. And then it goes on to say he was as unctuous as always and just as unconvincing as Joe Lieberman was on Sunday night. Gore used his primetime remarks Monday to continue his claim that his exhaustive legal maneuvering really isn't about who wins, but about the integrity of our system. Boy, Lieberman, no kidding. Lieberman just was like as flat. Did you see him on Sunday night, or were you watching MTV? Oh, you were watching MTV. I'm sorry. Yeah, Mike. By the way, I got you those Bon Jovi tickets. So, hey, Craig, if you're listening, they were for Mike. Now, anyway, he said to me on the phone, he goes, you're not going to Bon Jovi? Well, what a shock! Mike says, thanks, Craig. So anyway, if other than my producer, Mike Schaefer, who doesn't really follow the news, if you were watching Lieberman on Sunday night, this guy came off as flat as a freaking Firestone tire. Oh, my God. The guy's just, and we really believe that the only cat flatter than him is, and I met the mayor, and he's a wonderful guy, Mayor Reardon of L.A., but oh, boy. Hi, Phil, how are you? Oh, boy, you're the guy in the afternoon, huh? And he was standing next to Mr. Personality, Norm Pattis, who's a nice guy, you know. Still don't have any taste in cars, Norm. But anyway, no, he's a fine guy, but Mayor Reardon just, really nice guy, but just, hi, well, I got to go now. I have to go get some dinner. It's breakfast. Oh, okay. You been up all night, Mayor? Sure. So Lieberman, that cat had nothing to say, and he's like going, well, we have to get all the votes, and another thing, I don't know, shoot. It's just whatever Al wants me to, Al, is that it? Okay. And he's a bright man. He's a brilliant man. But he comes off sounding as if he's somebody's mouthpiece. And forgive me, I know that is a terribly offensive term, especially around lawyers. But you start sounding like you don't really buy it. And Lieberman started to sound to me a little bit Sunday night like he wasn't buying what he was saying. Now, we've been talking all this crap here the last few days about Democrats and, you know, about Gore. Unless you forget that I'm a Democrat and that I did vote for Al Gore, let's take a look at the Republicans for just a moment. I don't know what these guys are jumping up and down about because, man, they have got a row to hoe the next 4 years. Because these guys haven't been able to sell anything, man. They didn't have anything to say about anything. That's how bad a race they ran.
Will you stop to think about how lousy their can? I'm not saying that George Bush isn't a wonderful man, doesn't love his wife, and isn't a fine governor and probably a really bright guy. But how bad a candidate do you have to have? How bad is your candidate, the candidacy you run on the Republican side, that you can't slam dunk this guy? I thought everybody couldn't stand Clinton. I thought they didn't want the stink of Al Gore. I thought the whole Democrat thing of the last 8 years was a big pile of crap, and everybody wanted out of there with tomorrow's garbage. Well, guess what? This guy couldn't put it away. Bush! What are you cats talking about anyway, man? You know, I love listening to these guys. As I said a few weeks ago, this conservative revolution or silent majority, whatever it is you guys think you got going, man, you ain't got going. You ain't got it. You can't even put this election away. Everybody can't stand Clinton. People want to go back. They're tired of the deceitful politics. Americans are on the verge of revolution. You know, what planet does Pat Buchanan live on? Where are these guys like Nader coming from? Just exactly, you know, how is it? I know the squeaky wheel gets the grease, and I know that the guy that screams the loudest is generally going to have a camera shoved in his face. But, man, we spend an awful lot of time with our lens out of focus looking at guys like Buchanan and Nader as if they're some kind of a movement afoot. There ain't nothing going on. Ain't nothing going on. What's going on is you got Bush, who's okay, Gore, who's, yeah, and nobody cares. Just let the stock market keep going through the roof. Please, dear Jesus, don't let Yahoo fall through the floor. I hope my house continues to appreciate in value. And have a nice freaking Christmas. That's all we care about. And then I'm listening to, well, I shouldn't say, but there's a few people today saying, and look at the stock market. Look at how it's going up and down. The way Al Gore is behaving makes the stock market goes up and down. Those guys would go up and down. The stock market's up and down, like my dear mother used to say, like a freaking toilet seat, man. Those guys, the thing would go through the floor on the rumor that there was someone caught a particularly odious fart early in the morning, and it smells a little bit like eggs to me, Bob. Sell. That's the stock market, and if you don't believe it, ask anybody who works in the stock market. It is volatile, it is emotional, and I've seen it. 10 years ago, the stock market went through the floor by about 100 points because there was a rumor, and I swear to God it's true, and Melissa, I know you're going to think I'm lying, that Saddam Hussein, in the middle of the Gulf War, had left Iraq in the disguise of a French pastry chef. Now, that's the God's truth. The rumor hit the Wall Street Stock Exchange. It apparently went through the floor at about 100 points because there was some problem there. You know, it didn't bode well that Saddam Hussein was cooking pastries. I don't know what it meant, but it caused the stock. That's the stock. Get out of here with whether Al Gore's good for the country or not. Things going to go through the freaking floor the minute that George Bush says something like, and let me tell you about the subliminal, well, there goes the stock market. The guy can't say subliminal. You know, that you're right about that, Mike. Even though Saddam Hussein was dressed like a pastry chef, Sara Lee went through the roof. That was the only one, though. The next time that Bush pulls out a subliminal, you watch that freaking Hooked on Phonics stock go through the floor. Because it's going to happen, Jim. That's the guarantee. All right, it's Phil Henry's show here at 1-800-449-8686. Thank you very much. If you want to order our CD, 1-877-616-7445.